What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop right now. I got John McKenty, from vocalist and guitarist from the mighty Incantation. They have a new record called Sect of Vile Divinities coming out August 21st. You probably heard a single from the new record. We've been sharing the hell out of it and whatnot. First off, dude, welcome back to you know, releasing badass metal music. It's not like you guys have really stopped at all, but it's nice and it's refreshing to get some sick death metal. It's a weird time in this world. First off, where are you right now? Are you at home?
Yeah, I'm at home. I recently just moved to North Carolina, so I'm down here, which is really nice. Nice area to be in for sure. And yeah, definitely. Thank you. I appreciate that you dig the new album. And yeah, we're just looking forward to kicking ass.
How are you doing these days? You said you just moved. The last few months have been kind of a show. Weirdest,
for sure.
Probably the weirdest timeline ever to release a metal album. In a normal timeline, you'd probably be over in Europe or touring your ass off or something.
We actually would be in Europe probably now because we had some festivals booked that we had to postpone until next year. So we definitely would have been, you know, would have been calling you from who knows where, you know.
Considering everything, how are you doing? How are you holding up, bro?
I mean, I'm doing good. I mean, we toured our asses off for our last album, Hooked A Nexus. So it was like, you know, actually the break was a welcome break. And we also knew after we finished the Sect of Vile Divinities recording that we were going to have a couple of months to kind of, you know, chill out a little bit and focus on, you know, other stuff or new songs or whatever we, you know, do on that time. So, I mean, it's kind of weird, but the quarantine, all that stuff didn't really affect things too much because we didn't have a lot scheduled, and we did have some summer festivals, like I mentioned, and a few other shows here and there, but, you know, for the most part, up to this point, it really hasn't changed too much. I mean, our biggest problem was just waiting until we were able to get together as a band to kind of film some of the video footage for some of the singles that got released. Besides that, it's been pretty okay. I mean, you know, when you're touring, you know, we toured for almost 3 years straight for Profane Nexus. So to have about, 4 months of not doing much of anything is not the worst problem. I mean, it's way worse for other people that, regular people are working and have, losing their job. There's, a lot of people have a lot worse than we do in this situation.
It's a good way to look at it, man. It's kind of a down-to-earth way to look at it. And, what's a way to, so obviously when we're all at home, whether or not you can go outside and see some nice, beautiful landscapes or take a walk or whatever, yeah. For the most part, we're all kind of just, doing our own thing and kind of just staying socially distant on a day-to-day basis. What's something, how do you stay motivated? How do you stay inspired to either create music or just to, get up and get off your ass?
As of recently, it's been extremely easy because we have so much stuff always on our plate. Really. The whole time I've been kind of keeping pretty busy.
Cool.
I was really motivated, especially about 3 or 4 months ago to just work on new material. And I don't even think it had to do a lot with the quarantine, but just usually after we finish recording an album, it's like I get so happy to get done with it that I just get inspired to write new material right afterwards because I've been working on the same songs for quite a while.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what it is. I guess I feel very fortunate that I get to, play music and being, do the band and everything. Mm-hmm. And that just in itself just motivates me to either want to, write music or work on stuff. There's always stuff we have to organize, stuff for the videos or whatever beforehand. There's always a lot of work to do. So I just kind of get up and I just, want to work towards, the future of the band. And I guess my main thing to not letting myself kind of fall into the negative aspect of everything is I just try to stay as far away as possible from watching news on TV because not that I want to be out of the loop 100%, but I just don't like the constant, negativity and the division and all this kind of stuff that they try to do on the news all the time. I try to keep my brain out of it because for me, music, is, a very personal thing, but also a way to really connect with a lot of people around the world and everything. So it's like, I just try to keep away from all that bullshit, because it just isn't, I just don't think it's productive. I mean, if you watch the news all the time, you'll think that the world's going to end and everybody hates everybody or something,
It's a lot of mind pollution, dude.
Exactly. So I honestly, I've been feeling better. The less that I pay attention to that stuff, the better it is.
Okay.
For my mental health, I think,
If you were to believe Facebook, then we're in the end times. But, if you just close your app, go on a walk, eat some nice food, maybe talk to your friend actually on the phone. I think we'll be okay. Who knows, though?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. For some reason, it seems like news or who knows what, wants to just push that everything totally sucks. And of course, things aren't perfect by any means, but instead of trying to solve any problems, it's always just, it seems like you're just trying to make everybody in a panic. So screw that, who needs that crap?
Just create some fucking old school brutal death metal. You guys, I gotta say, dude, it's interesting. You guys are one of the OGs in the death metal game. And these days there's for lack of a better term, it's a new wave of old school death metal. How's that looking from being one of the OGs and having such a background in this form of music and holding it down for so long? It's got to be cool to see all these kids that you probably inspired kind of, taking a page out of your book. What's that like?
Well, it's totally awesome. I mean, especially as a young musician, you know, I never really thought about having this kind of a legacy on the scene. It wasn't even like a thought, you know. We just wanted to just do things our way and just kind of, you know, tell the world to piss off and we're going to play death metal our way. And that's that. It was always really kind of rebellious and just honest what we were doing. So, it, you know, to see that there's so many bands that, you know, within the last, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years, it slowly started about 15 years, but really within the last 10 is when things really started to, you know, I started to see a lot of bands that were definitely like, obviously influenced by some of our early material, which is just really a super huge honor as a musician and a songwriter. I mean, when bands use your band as a template to create something of their own out of it as a songwriter, that's like kind of the highest compliment you can get, because, you know, that means these people really feel passionate about what you did, and what you did really did make an impact when, honestly, we weren't even really that concerned about any long-term impact. I mean, we didn't want to do something special with the band, but we never thought that it would be like, you know, we'd create our own kind of subgenre of anything like that. That was not even a thought, you know? And there's a couple bands. You're from Washington, right, if I remember?
Like Fetid, Cerebral Rot?
Oh, yeah. Well, I know that there's, what do you call it, Drone and Coyer from out that way.
Yeah,
but they've awesome. Always... They've always, you know, supported us, and they kind of, I think, use us as an early influence to them. And one of great bands from there, and there's another band from there too that actually I think uses us as an influence. I think it's really good. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but is it Mortiferum?
Yeah, Mortiferum, I think, or Mortiferum.
Okay, Mortiferum. That's how it is. Yeah, I heard them from our drummer Kyle, and I thought their album was really good. I could definitely tell that they had a kind of a Mortal Throne Nazarene influence on their stuff, but I thought they really took it in an awesome direction. I was really impressed with their latest. Well, I guess it's their first full length, I think. I don't know a lot about them. I just know the stuff I heard was really fucking killer.
Oh, man. I'm going to text my friend Tony, who plays in that band, and let him know that you support them. He's going to freaking geek out. You don't even know.
Well, that's killer. I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, it's like, honestly, I don't really get off a lot on a lot of bands that sound similar to us or use us as an influence, because it's kind of weird sometimes, you know, because, you know, it's great that bands are influenced by you, but I don't hang around and listen to my own band all the time. What I want to listen to other bands that kind of sound like us, it's a little weird, but there's certain bands that I hear that, you know, just kind of, you know, they do something that makes it kind of cool that I can listen to and be like, wow, that's actually really cool. It's not just like, you know, it's not just using us as an influence, but also kind of creating something that
building off of it.
Special.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always been my thing. When people would ask me about what I would always tell bands that might be influenced to or something, it's like, it's great if you're influenced by us, but you definitely use your own imagination, you know, to create something special. Don't just, you know, copy
exactly
what you hear, because then there's almost no use for it. But if you could take, you know, some of the ideas maybe that we kind of started or other bands have started and build upon and make something great, then that's awesome. So that's exactly what we did as a band. We took our influences and build upon them into, you know, our own special thing. So that's awesome.
That's like variations on a theme. It's like, okay, take Incantation, make it a little thrashier, and add some tech death. Okay, there you go. It's like variations. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the reality of it, too, is the death metal scene's only better the more variety that you have in it. I mean, you know, I have my niches that I like, but, you know, if I go to shows or go on tours, I always like to play with a diverse, you know, kind of bands, too.
Totally.
Because to me, it's just, it makes for the show more interesting. I don't need to hear, you know,
15 Suffocations
sound exactly the same. You know? And variety is the spice of life, you know?
Totally, man. Well, let's talk a little bit about your record, man. So Sect of Vile Divinities, again, it comes out next Friday. You guys, I'm stoked for the record. You can pre-order it now through Bandcamp or through the Incantation social media stuff, and just make sure you follow them and pre-order and support the bands. A lot of bands, I mean, obviously no one can play shows, so directly supporting metal musicians that you care for is rad. Kudos to you if you do that. Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot, dude. What are three words, three single words that you would use to describe this record?
I guess it's a little bit under pressure, but one is sincerity.
Nice. Okay.
One is, I guess, a lot. I don't know if it's one word, but like thought, I guess.
Yeah.
Very thought-provoking.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, evil.
Yeah, okay. I like it. Honestly, evil.
Really think of.
Thought-provoking and evil. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys, obviously some of the originators, and we were just talking about that in death metal, but I'm curious for you, like, what was your, like, thinking back to day one, you know, with your foray into this underground scene, and I'm sure it was way more underground when you first started getting into it. Like, what was, like, day one of hearing about death metal or being exposed to it? What band was it, and do you remember?
Yeah, well, for me, the first day, I guess, after death for me is when I first heard Possessed Seven Churches. And
nice.
You know, I'm old enough where I got Seven Churches when it was released, you know, around that time. Actually, my friend bought the record, and the record came with two records inside by accident. I must have screwed up at the plant, so he gave me his extra copy that came in there. So I still have my original copy of the Possessed album with just the sleeve.
That's
in,
so
you know?
Cool.
But, anyway, when I heard that album, it was just totally... totally mind-blowing, but honestly, the first listen, I did not get it. I knew it was amazing, and I knew there was something really interesting and sick about it, but I did not, it wasn't like I listened to it and immediately, like, this, you know, I get this. This is, you know, all I knew is, this is really, you know, this is something that I really have to, understand more about, like, I'm connected to it, but I don't get it. And then I listened to it probably about, I don't know, five or six more times over the next couple of days. And it's like all of a sudden it started clicking in. And once it clicked, it was just like, I just couldn't believe, you know, how phenomenal this was. Because before Possessed Seven Churches, they're just, things were just different. And I mean, there were great metal albums, and there were great, even there was, you know, Venom, and there were a lot of great bands that were being dark and evil, but this was just like the whole package where the riffs were really evil. The drumming just really was evil.
Yeah.
You know, the vocals, everything was evil. And that was for me, like day one where I realized that, you know, for me, life's kind of changed after that day, as far as like that this was, you know, moving on to a more advanced a kind of metalhead from just the normal the normal thrasher or like heavy metal or new wave of British heavy metal stuff I was into, that I knew this was like another next step, you know, the beginning.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. And then obviously, you know, it's all uphill or downhill depending on how you look from it, you know.
Yeah, what it was after that album, I heard that, you know, I started hearing other bands that were putting out really, like...
It's a whole new world,
stuff.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah, you start, like, Hellhammer and Celtic Frost and, Merciful Fate really getting into stuff like that. So all these bands were just, like, you started hearing all this stuff, and they all had a really dark vibe to it. And it was just a good fundamental. And then... soon after that, a couple of years after that, I got into tape trading once I joined my band before Incantation Revenant. I started getting into tape trading and buying fanzines in the mail and stuff. And then like the floodgates even opened more once I started hearing, you know, kind of bands like Necrophagia, like, you know, demo stuff and demo stuff from Death and Massacre and hearing about bands like Sepultura and all these bands that were just like, you know, at that time were just so extreme. So it's like, you know, a path of just more and more extreme. And all this stuff just inspired me as a musician to finally want to start Incan and do, you know, do my version of telling the world to f*** off and want to play the music, you know, we want to play kind of thing, you know, just make it as evil and dark as possible. We wanted to do our part in, like, corrupting the world with our music, you know?
I like it. That's awesome. That's a pull quote right there, man. That's perfect. Okay, so now that we're thinking about those times and we're thinking about, like, the history of death metal and all of that, I gotta ask you, and I like to ask death metal musicians this question because it has never been, you know, written about really, in, at least that I've seen. We all know the big four of American thrash: Slayer, Anthrax, Megadeth, Metallica. In your opinion, your personal, what's your big four of death metal?
Wow! Holy crap! Yeah, that's almost impossible. Holy crap. I mean, it's circumstantial to the time, but I mean, for me, I guess it would, I mean, because this has to be in there because it was the first for me.
And 1A,
it stuck with me. Yeah, and I would have to say probably death would be too. I mean, I mean, honestly, I'm not a super huge fan of the later death, but the earlier death stuff had a super huge impact on me as a musician. So, I mean, that's super important. I'd have to say Necrophagia, probably.
Okay.
Because Seasons of the Dead album was such an important prototype death metal album for me. And then maybe, that's tough to say. There's so many great ones, but I'll go with Morbid Angel because Morbid Angel back in the late 80s especially was so forward in their thinking at that time. I was actually just talking to someone about the that Kingdom Come demo that they did in 87, and when I heard it, it's like I heard the future of death metal in that recording. It was just amazing. I think everybody felt that way. So
okay,
those are kind of, even though there's so many great death metal bands, those are the ones that really, you know, I would say were, you know, my big four, at least at the moment. They'll probably change tomorrow.
Right on, man.
From now.
That's a solid big four, absolutely. And like I said, you know, I didn't vet these questions with you, so this is all right, straight off the hip. So, you know. And, okay, so I got to ask you a question for our man, Ryan the Beard. He always brings this up when I say incantation. And I'm sure you've been asked this before. In 1997, a band called Anal AC, aka AC, wrote a song called Kyle from Incantation Has a Mustache. What's the story?
Well, yeah, actually, I mean that's kind of Kyle's story because I mean, we all were friends with Seth. I mean, I toured, really, I think my first tour we ever did, we played with, it was us, Anal, and this band Phlegm. We did a short tour of, like, Texas back, this was 91, I think it was.
Okay.
So we had a long relationship with Anal, and those, and they're just, they've always been good friends. And it's crazy because people wouldn't think that, like, a noise grind band and Incan would be kind of like a band that would tour a lot together, but it just worked because both bands just had a total piss, you know, screw you kind of attitude.
Yeah.
It just kind of worked. But yeah, basically, like, Kyle and Seth just used to hang out and party a lot. They were both really into drugs and stuff back then.
Mm-hmm.
So they would just have, like, lots, you know, party and get really high and stuff. And I guess one day over at Kyle's house, Seth was just playing the acoustic guitar that was hanging around and just started jamming on this. It was I think the song is actually like a Creator riff or something, and he just starts singing, you know, the Kyle from the incantation. You know, he just starts singing it over there, whatever. And he just, you know, they were just kind of joking around and saying, oh, yeah, I got to do this on the next album, blah, blah, blah. And Kyle kind of thought it was a joke or whatever.
Nope.
And then out of nowhere, like a couple months later, Kyle gets a call and he's like, you know, this is a Kyle living in Cleveland. Seth lives in Massachusetts. And Seth was like, coming out to Massachusetts, we need you to record this song, you know? And Kyle was like, what? And Kyle was like, oh, fuck it, I'll do it. And he drove out and he recorded the drums. It was just like a one take version of the song, put it on the album. And then basically, like, Kyle left. And, I guess they decided they wanted to put Kyle's voice on the song too, where it says, hi, I'm Kyle from Incantation and a Mustache. So Kyle was actually at his house on his phone, and he just called him up, and he just took the phone and put it to the microphone.
That's awesome.
And used that for the Kyle's singing part on the album, or talking part or whatever. Pretty crazy.
That's amazing. I had to hear it straight from you guys about the story. So thank you.
Yeah, and it has to do also with the fact that Seth is a big, he was a big fan of, Village People, you know? He used to tease Kyle because of his mustache. He looked like the Village People, you know?
Oh, awesome.
who
would have known that the guy from AC, Seth Putnam, was a huge Village People fan? Well, now you do.
It was insane. He would go to Las Vegas and watch him. You know, they'd play like multiple nights in a row, and he would just go there and watch him every night.
Whoa. Amazing.
He's hardcore.
That's funny.
Yeah, Seth was a character. He's a great guy. He's definitely missed. It's sad that he's gone, but
yeah,
it happens, unfortunately.
Well, John McKenty from the band Incantation, obviously Sect of Vile Divinities coming out August 21st. One more question for you, dude. Pick a scar. Pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it, dude.
Okay, well, I have a pretty good scar across my skull that I got that when we were kind of back from Formula Shale to the Flesh Tour, Morbid Angel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad. It's another drug story on Kyle. Uh-oh. But anyway, we were driving home, and Kyle just made a really bad decision of doing some, snorting some heroin while driving, and I was sleeping in the back of the van, and he ended up driving off the road because he nodded out. We crashed our van, flipped over, and I basically scratched, you know, there was like a kind of a shirt hanger holders in the back of the car, and that thing got jammed kind of right into the side of my head and kind of cut my skull open, kind of around the back a little bit. And, and basically all our gear and everything was out on the highway, and that van was pretty much toast. Not luckily, nobody died in the situation.
Yeah.
Just Kyle and myself were in the van at the time. And soon after that, we had a talk with Kyle and said, maybe it's time to get checked out about this drug problem.
Yeah. Totally. Hey, man. And like, honestly, that is a wake up call. And that's a blessing that you guys were, you know, that could have been so much worse. So at least you have
that story
to tell, you know, that you live to tell the story.
Kyle feels bad about it, obviously, you know. He was having drug problems, you know, but, you know, after stuff like that happens, you know, you really realize that, like, you know, okay, you know, it's one thing to, you know, want to try to be recreational, have fun with drugs, but once it starts taking control and you're doing stupid things where you're going to, you might kill people that you care about, you know, and that's not cool, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So don't do heroin, everybody, okay?
You heard it here first. Now, you probably heard it before this, but you heard it again.
Yeah, newsflash. Heroin is not a good drug to do.
Word. Well, okay, man, this is obviously Seattle in the Northwest. Do you have any final words for the Northwest before your album Sect of Vile Divinities comes out next Friday? Any final words for him, John?
Well, I just want to thank you guys out there. I mean, Owen's awesome. You always have a great time playing out there. And just, you know, look forward to seeing you guys once all this craziness is over with and stuff. Hopefully things will be back to normal and we'll be able to, you know, play some metal and just hang out with all our friends over there. And thank you so much for the support. Check out the album, you know, give it a few listens. Hopefully you guys like it. And, yeah, just, you know, don't be a poser.
Yes, the words to live by. Awesome, John. Thanks so much for the interview, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep. Have a good one, bro.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
You too.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.